Praise the Lord. We are not going to go very far unless Jesus leads us. So thank you for that song. Thank you, Sister Nadia, for leading us in our worship of praise. Thank you, Elder Samir and Elder Johnston, and for our technicians who are making this possible, that we can meet in this fashion. It's not ideal, but thank the Lord that it is all that we have. I guess in 1918, when the major pandemic occurred, they did not have computers. And so they had to die in greater numbers because they needed the social gathering. And instead of what we have now as deaths, they had it in the tens of millions, upwards of 50 million people died. And so the Lord is gracious even in the midst of this. And I don't know if you caught what Sister Thornton said, that she was tested. And I thank God that the breath is still in her nostrils, that she was able to do our stewardship reading this morning. So thank you, Sister Thornton. Although you have been tested for it, but God, we're praying for his protection over you, that you will come through this. And that you'll be strengthened and encouraged. So Pisgah, we're not exempt. We've been touched in many ways by this COVID-19. And so it's wisdom for us to practice good protection, take care of our health. The emphasis is on, and I know Brother Shannon, he's a good one. We could give you good counsel on what to take. Thank you, Brother Shannon, for taking care of Lisa and the Harveys. Thank God for you. Thank God for Sister Carolyn, who has come through it, and she's clean and clear. And so, Sister Thornton, we're praying for you that you will be an overcomer as well. And so when we meet, our churches are closed, and we won't have a funeral at Pisgah. All the churches are closed. And so we'll meet at the Marshall March Funeral Home in Suitland. The viewing is at 10, I think. And then the services is at 11 for our brother Ronald. And let's continue to pray for one another, because I really was encouraged by the Sabbath school this morning. Elder Dorsey, Ron took the Sabbath school lesson. I was encouraged by the pooling of ideas and encouraging one another, that it is time now. People are questioning what next, what's coming. They are eager to hear what next. And we have an opportunity. We're continuing our Revelation seminar. We had planned to close it down, but now we're in this fashion. There are people that have questions, and we want to make it available for them. So it's a matter of just clicking on the link, and you're in the meeting, and you can have many of the questions. Tomorrow night, we'll continue the subject of the Sabbath, the importance of the Sabbath. The world has totally missed it, and God is a people who are emphasizing the important things that mean for our soul salvation. So Discover Revelation at 6:15 tomorrow evening. Invite your family and friends. They have questions. God has the answers, the Word of God has the answers. So let's look to the Lord as we open his word this morning. Father, we thank you for the privilege of being together in this fashion. We pray that you will comfort our aching hearts. May we find the entrance of your word brings light, and that we will have a good perspective on where we are as a nation, as a church, and as individuals. May we recognize our mortality, and may we trust in your eternity and your divinity. So feed us, Holy Spirit, feed us till we want no more. Lead us all the way, step by step, each day until your kingdom come and your will is done on earth as it is in heaven. In the precious name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. The scripture reading that we're going to focus our time together on is 1 Samuel 7, And Elder Samir read clearly from verse 1 through 3. And I'll read it again in your hearing. I think his microphone was a little muted. Elder Samir, you're a computer engineer. You got to have a clear mic. So I'll let you know that. We hardly could hear you. The word of God says, and the men of Kirjath-Jearim came and fetched up the ark of the Lord and brought it into the house of Abimelech in the hill and sanctified Eleazar, his son, to keep the ark of the Lord. I want you to notice that word, sanctify as Eleazar, his son. Not any and everybody should handle the ark. God had specially chosen the Levites to take care of the ark, which represented his commandments. And I'll fill in the rest of the story, but here in verse 2 it says, and it came to pass, while the ark abode in Kirjath-Jearim, that the time was long, for it was 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. Imagine that the ark was away from Israel for 20 years, and they lamented after the Lord. There was something missing. There was a vacuum. And so, in verse 3, Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, if you do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtoreth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. My. There's a crisis in Israel, and the ark of God was missing for 20 long years. Well, to get the full story, you got to go back to the beginning. In the midst of the evil that had been perpetrated by the leadership and the priestly class in Israel, God raised up a child. The child's name is Samuel. He remained true to God because his parents had instilled in him values that would carry him through his life. And the message of commendation to the house of condemnation to the house of Eli was Samuel's commission as a prophet of the Most High God. God is using a child as a prophet to rebuke the priest. For the scripture says, the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at the time when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. So the ark was in Israel, and our scripture reading said it had been missing for 20 years. And so we got to connect the time when the ark was there to the time when it was missing for 20 years. And that's our focus this morning. The ark was present, and then the ark was missing for 20 years. And the admonition in verse 3, Samuel spoke unto all the house of Israel, saying, if you do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, you see, God doesn't want half of us. He wants all or none at all. Then he said, put away the strange gods of Ashtoreth from among you and prepare your hearts unto the Lord and serve him. There's only one God, and that is the God who is the creator. And then he promises that he will deliver you from the hand of the Philistines. You see, the Lord had passed by his chosen servant, the man of gray head, to commune with a child. It's sad when the adults can't be trusted with the word of God, and God has to give it to a child. This was a bitter rebuke to Eli and his house. But Eli realized what was happening. He was the one who compromised his children and his family and compromised the teaching of the house of God till the point had come when the ark of God was missing for a whole 20 years. And so God had to turn to a child. Children are precious in the sight of God. We need to care for our children. We need to protect our children as parents, because they have impressionable minds, and when we fail to give them a good godly example, they can run wild. And so thank God for Hannah. For it says, and the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do a new thing in Israel, at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it will tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. Therefore, I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering. And so it's a sad thing when the leadership of the church has to be spoken off in such strong and severe language. You see, it was the Lord's purpose to reveal himself in an unexpected manner that Eli would hear. And through the surprise and inquiry of the youth, Samuel, he was filled with fear and amazement at the thought of having to deliver that message to Eli, who could be a grandfather to him. But sometimes children have to speak truth to us. And so in the morning, he went about his duties after God had spoken to him in the night vision. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. God gave him the message that he had to give to the priest Eli, and he didn't want to tell him. He wanted to skirt around him because his heart was heavy. The Lord had not commanded him to reveal the fearful denunciation, but he remained silent, avoiding as far as possible the presence of Eli. You know, when you have something to tell somebody and you don't want to tell them, you avoid them. Or if your life is a rebuke to them, you shun them. It happens all the time. We don't want to hear truth, and so we think we can hide our face from it. So Eli recognized what was going on because Samuel was behaving kind of strange. And so he called him and he charged him to relate faithfully what the Lord had revealed. And so Samuel obeyed, and the aged priest bowed in humble submission. That's very important. When we are caught, brothers and sisters, let us not get a defense team to protect us and to defend us. Let us submit to the sentence that God wants to bring to us. And so the priest said, it is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth to him good. Yes, we have to submit to the sentence that God is placing on our lives. But it was not a death sentence. It was a call to change. But Eli did not manifest the fruit of true repentance. When we're caught, we have all kinds of excuses. Yes, he confessed his guilt, but he failed to renounce the sin. There is a difference between acknowledging something and total repentance. Much might have been done in those years to redeem the failures of the past, but the priest took no effective measure to correct the evil that was polluting the sanctuary of the Lord and leading thousands in Israel to ruin. So leaders of God's church must say something when they see something. We can't pretend and expect somebody else to say it and to fix the problem. We have a responsibility when we see something wrong. We're all leaders. We all have different functions, no matter what your role. we have a responsibility when we see something to say something. And so Eli, while acknowledging it, did not do anything about it. I tell you, it's sad. And so God's forbearance caused the boys, Hophni and Phinehas, to harden their hearts and to become still bolder in their transgression, because evil that is not dealt with gets stronger and it becomes a cancer that takes over the entire body. The warnings were disregarded by the people as they had been by the priest. The people of the surrounding nations who were not ignorant of the high crimes and misdemeanors of the children of Israel openly practiced sin as Israel did. They felt no sense of guilt for their sins, as though they would have felt the Israelites preserve their integrity. They were doing the same thing that so-called people of God were doing. And so people watch us. They see us. But a day of retribution was approaching. God's authority had been set aside and his worship neglected and despised, and it became necessary for him to intervene that the honor of his name might be maintained. So the people of God were acting just like the other people. They were worshiping idols. And so Israel, in their bold-faced sin, they went out to battle the Philistines. Their expectations were that they would win. But alas, they went out and they had 4,000 casualties. Can you imagine 4,000 of their fighting men dead? They thought God was with them. Yes, God will be with us. But they were defeated. They didn't consult God. They went out on their own, and as a result, they were soundly thrashed. As the shattered and disheartened force returned to the encampment, the elders of Israel says, "Wherefore hath the Lord smitten us today before the Philistines?" You see, the nation was ripe for judgment, yet they did not see that their own sins had been the cause of this terrible disaster. They say, "Oh, let's regroup. Let's go back and let's get a better strategy so that we can beat our enemies." But the Lord had given no command or permission for them to go out. And so this time they say, "Okay, we'll go again. But what this time we're going to take the ark with us." They wanted the ark. They felt confident that victory will be theirs, and they uttered a great shout when it was borne into the camp by the sons of Eli. The priests had relegated responsibility, that his boys were now renegade priests. And so they brought the ark now to Israel. After Israel has been soundly thrashed, 4,000 dead, they're gonna try again. You see how it is? We get bolder and bolder until it leads to self-destruction. And so the Philistines looked upon the ark as the God of Israel. You see, they worship Ashtoreth. They worship an image. Many nations, they have a form of a god, the Buddha. And they worship and pray to Buddha. All the mighty works that Jehovah had wrought for his people was attributed to the power of the ark. And they looked at it as a symbol of power. And they heard the shouts of joy as it approached. And they said, "What meaneth the noise of this great shout in the camp of the Hebrews?" And they understood that the ark of the Lord was coming to the camp. And the Philistines were afraid, for they said, "God has come into the camp. God is not a God of wood and stone." But that's what Israel had perpetrated in their minds, that now we have a symbol of God. So now we're going to win. "These are the gods that smote the Egyptians with all the plagues in the wilderness. Be strong and quit yourselves like men, O ye Philistines, that ye be not servants unto the Hebrews, that they might, as they have been to you, quit yourselves like men and fight." And so the Philistines they made a fierce assault, and the result was the defeat and the slaughter, not of 4,000, but of 30,000. 30,000 men now were killed, in spite of the ark being with them. And so, brothers and sisters, we are looking back at the pages of history as a testimony for all of us and the future generations that the iniquity of God's professed people will not go unpunished. Yes, they were God's chosen people. Yes, they had a priest. Yes, they had the ark of God. Yes, they had the commandments. But no, it was not in their hearts. It was in a box. And so we're in this phase of turmoil in our land. We have knowledge. We have a knowledge of God's will. And because we have a knowledge of God's will, when we do contrary to God's will, it becomes a greater sin when we disregard God's purposes. And the most terrifying calamity that could occur had befallen Israel. The Ark of God was captured. It was now in the possession of the enemy. Yes, they lost 40,000 dead, but the Ark was taken. The glory had indeed departed from Israel. When the symbol of the abiding presence of Jehovah was removed from the midst of them, for nation as well as for individuals, the path of obedience to God is the path of safety and happiness. Do what God says the first time. Save yourself a heartache. And so while that of transgression leads only to disaster and defeat, the Philistines were now so completely subdued that they surrendered the strongholds which had been taken from Israel and returned from an act of hostility for many years. Other nations followed this example, and the Israelites enjoyed peace until the close of Samuel's administration. Samuel was called by God to relieve Israel, and by his example, he was able to show the people of Israel the right path to follow. And so, coming down to when Samuel had gotten the ark back from the Philistines, after they had it there for 20 years, in fact, they wanted it gone after 7 months. And it was taken on an ox cart, and it was sent to the house of Abinadab, where Eliezer watched over it, but it was not brought back to Israel. 20 years, 7 months with the Philistines, 20 years away from the temple. They had to come to a realization that change must happen. And so now Samuel is the priest. Eli, when he heard that the ark was taken, had fallen off his stool backwards and had died. His boys were renegades. And that was a terrible tragedy in Israel. Now, as we go further down in the story, in order that the occasion of the return and the taking of the ark and the return of the ark might not be forgotten, Samuel set up a reminder of all of this. Between Mizpah and Shen, a great stone or a memorial was erected. He called the name of the place Ebenezer, or the stone of help, saying to the people, "Hitherto hath God, Jehovah, helped us." And so Ebenezer comes from the Hebrew phrase that means stone of help. The name appeared in the biblical story told in the book of 1 Samuel, in which the Hebrew prophet Samuel sets up the stone to commemorate the help that God had given to the Israelites. So we, as modern Israel, we need to build Ebenezers as well. When we look at what ancient Israel experienced and what we are experiencing, we need to have some remembrance. Oftentimes we forget. Honey, did you see where I put the car keys? I forgot where I placed it. Isn't that repeated often? We forget so easily. This happens too frequently. It's funny how I and we all forget. Researchers tells us that painkillers such as anesthesia, you go on an anesthetic and you forget, can weaken your memory. The foods we eat can boost our memory or causes us to forget. Drug addicts, they forget the last time they got a hit, and they got to go back again over and over. They know they're doing something that's self-destructive, but they keep doing it because there's the momentary pleasure. I like keepsakes that assist my memory. Some people are good at remembering things, not because they have sharp memories, but they are smart enough to keep a journal or a planner or an organizer. Now we have our organizers on our cell phones. We can remember activities that we have to participate in, or appointments, doctor's appointments, and so forth. And so as we contemplate on our scripture reading from 1 Samuel chapter 7, I'm moved by how Samuel led the Israelites to a worship ceremony because of God's deliverance of them in the face of their enemy, the Philistines. It says, then Samuel took a stone and he set it between Mizpah and Shen, and he named it Ebenezer, saying, thus far hath the Lord helped us. That's 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12. So why did Samuel name the stone Ebenezer? Well, Ebenezer literally means the stone of help. We need some help today, brothers and sisters. He set that up to help Israel remember God's help and his advocacy for them in the history of the children of Israel. How he achieved victory over their enemies. Then it hit me. Making memorials of how God has helped us is a good practice, lest we forget. So what are some ways that you and I can build our Ebenezer? Yes, we need to remember because we soon forget, and so we got to write it down. They say what you write down, you'll remember. Because our minds are so filled with stuff that it overflows, and the computer, as you get older, it doesn't recall as well. So write a journal. Reviewing in your journal what God has done helps you and I stay encouraged to trust him continually. Then we can write a blog. Everybody's now writing blogs. One good thing about keeping a journal is that you can easily transfer this into a blog. Choose carefully, though, the ones that you want to be public. Elder Ron was talking about how people write everything they think on Twitter, on Facebook. And there's always a battle going on. Somebody's trying to out-talk the other person. Write something positive. Don't always attack. Write what God is doing in your life and let it be an encouragement to somebody. Who knows, the next person to visit your blog is someone who is in need of the gospel of encouragement that you just wrote from your Bible reading or from your personal testimony. Write poems. One of our members, she's a beautiful poet. She writes and sends me her poems, and I'm encouraged by them. Or write hymns. We don't have to listen to everything on YouTube. We can write our own hymns. You may be a gifted composer. You can turn your testimonies into songs that remind you of God's guidance or answers to your prayers. And wherever he leads you, write about it. I'm encouraged every time I listen and my radio station in my car is tuned to Rejoice Radio. When I hear the music, sometimes Whitney Phipps comes on, beautiful music that I've listened to that have encouraged my heart. Listen to positive things, not always the negative. Write something on Facebook. Don't just use Facebook to brag about something. Use Facebook to brag about God and what he's doing. Make sure that the credit goes to God ultimately and not to yourself. Self-promotion is no promotion at all. Or buy a souvenir. Some people are very sentimental, that for every accomplishment they achieve, they buy something valuable to remind them of God's favor. Keeping a small token is a good reminder of God's goodness. Every morning at 7 o'clock, I'm up way before seven. But my little cuckoo clock in the hallway, it comes out and it chirps at me and lets me know it's 7 o'clock. We purchased that in Germany. The Germans are excellent at cuckoo clocks. I purchased a family tree that I framed in Egypt with all my children and parents and grandparents on both sides, Hazel's family and my family. There are other keepsakes that we purchased in Israel on our trips. Later on, our kids or friends will ask us what these tokens are about, and we can testify about God's loving kindness towards us. So we also take pictures. We have so many blessings in this computer age. We have an enormous number of available gadgets which can help us retain memories. And one of them is our cameras. Everybody has a cell phone. And you've seen enough of those people who incriminate themselves by acting ugly while they're being filmed and put on Facebook. And you see the bad behavior. There's a new name for ladies behaving badly. And Sister Karen, it's nothing to do with you. It's a term they're using now called acting like Karen. But Karen Dent is a beautiful lady. She doesn't act like that. So take photos of God's unspeakable gifts. Share them with your friends and encourage them to love and to seek and to worship God that loves us so well. There are some special photographs in our home that trigger memories or reminders for Hazel and I. There are 5 pictures. Whenever we sit down for family worship on Friday evening, we have a section of our living room that we love to spend time only on Friday. The other times, we have our special place for prayer. But these pictures are reminders of the journey that we've been on and how God has led us all the way, step by step each day. 44 years since September 5th. That's our first getting together, young kids getting together, 44 years ago. Then we have pictures of the Oakwood years when all our children were born and our last son was dedicated by Elder C.C. Ward at Oakwood. Then we have the pictures of the Andrews years, our ordination to the gospel ministry, our second marriage. Did you know Hazel and I have been married twice? Yeah, we got married at the Tacoma Park Seventh-day Adventist Church. Each time we gather for worship around the fireplace, it reminds us, it's our Ebenezer of how God has led us. And so the Hebrew word Ebenezer may be the least known lyric among all the beloved hymns. The Baptist minister, Robert Robinson, in 1735 to 1790, he wrote the hymn that we sang for our opening, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. At 22, he could pen that hymn. Not long after his conversion, which was influenced in part by the preaching of a legendary evangelist, George Whitfield, the meaning of Ebenezer originates more than 1,000 years before Christ during the ministry of the prophet Samuel, praise God, who played a pivotal role at a key juncture in the history of God's people. And the extraordinary stories of his birth and his calling, his extensive involvement with anointing Israel's first king, anointing the second king. And so it was God who was leading Israel all the way. God is leading you and me, step by step each day. So what do we know? What we do know is that during his early days as a prophet, Israel received back the Ark of the Covenant from the Philistines. After 7 months, having lost it in a war, so distressing was it to lose the ark? As I've mentioned, when the news hit Eli the prophet, he had gone so far. There are times when we go so far that we can't change. We stop listening. We've given up. He fell backwards and died. Can you imagine that? Sadly, even with the loss of the ark, the nation was not yet ready to come before God in full repentance. It took 20 years for the people to be sufficiently humbled to turn to Samuel, ask for leading and restoring of their relationship with God. Pisgah, this pandemic that has affected our church should be an opportunity for us to turn and look full in God's wonderful face. And let the things of this earth grow dim in the light of his glory and grace. And so Samuel gathered the people at the town of Mizpah. There the people would fast, confess their collective sins, and identify with God. We have sinned against the Lord. 1 Samuel 7 verse 6 says that. And Samuel would pray for them. And so when the Philistines heard that Israel had gathered at Mizpah, they took it as an opportunity to march on their enemies. And when Israel heard that they were coming, the nation panicked. The people pled to the prophet, "Do not cease to cry out to the Lord our God for us, that we may save us from the hands of the Philistines." And so Samuel responded by sacrificing a lamb. Praise God. Sacrificed a lamb to God on behalf of the people as he did. The Philistines began to attack. God heard Samuel and answered with a magnificent display of power. The Lord thundered with a mighty sound that day against the Philistines and threw them into confusion, and they were defeated before Israel. And the men of Israel went out from Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and struck them. God heard the cries of his people through Samuel, and he came to their rescue. Can you say hallelujah? Praise God. So I want you to meet Ebenezer, not Ebenezer Scrooge. This is a symbol of God helping us. We need God's help today, Pisgah. Then to commemorate God's mighty intervention on behalf of his people, Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen and called its name Ebenezer. For he said, "Till now, the Lord has helped us. God has led us a long way, Pisgah. He's led us through these last 4 or 5 months. Yes, here we are thinking that it was all over, but it's not. It's not over until God said it's done. And so we may want to go out and do our thing as the young people in many countries, the nightlife, going to the bars, socializing. They thought, well, it can't happen to us. But young people are taking it home to their grandparents and their parents. It's not over until God says. And out of this experience, this terrible defeat and scourge of this nation, the United States of America, God is going to humble us. And we can't think because of our might and our economy that we can fight and push through this. No, God is in charge. Let us humble ourselves. Let us humble ourselves. Yes. Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen and called its name Ebenezer. Or he says, "Till now, the Lord has helped us." Praise God. And so the Hebrew Ebenezer means stone of help. Eben is stone. Ezer, help. Samuel wanted the people to remember not just for a few days, but for years, for decades, for generations, how God has come to the rescue of his people when they humbled themselves before him. They were vulnerable with their enemies approaching, and they did not deserve God's rescue. We don't deserve any good. Having been chronologically unfaithful, and yet in his gracious fidelity to his covenant people, God intervened with thunder to throw Israel's enemy in confusion and turn their enemies into the vulnerable nation that they were. For when God is on your side, victory is assured. But here, alas, we're human. And as the songwriter goes on to say, prone to wander. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Yes, we may be right today, but tomorrow, when things are going good, we tend to wander away from God. And so, of course, this would not be the end of Israel's story. Many more dangerous toils and snares were to come. Samuel raising the stone of help was in no way a declaration that the final victory had been won, but it was up to that point that God had helped them. Till now, the Lord has helped us. And because God's people weren't yet out of the woods, this Ebenezer had a part to play in reminding the nation to keep the faith in the days ahead. Praise God. So it is with us today, brothers and sisters, as we sing the hymn and remember Samuel's prayer. Our stories are not yet over, and we are not yet out of the woods. Many more threats await us and will assault our faith. And we know our hearts are helpless apart from the turning and the sealing of God's grace, because we are prone to wander. Yet, as we live in the tension of this moment called the present, where the rapids of the future rush at us and collect behind us into the pool of the past, we know who our God, who has shown himself to be faithful, is to us. He indeed is the fountain of every blessing. He is the one whose streams of mercy never ceases, will be new again tomorrow, each new day. Lamentations 3:22 says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassion fail not. They are new every morning. Do you praise God every morning you wake up, or do you flip the channel or look at your phone to find out what's going on before you talk to the Lord? Spend a thoughtful hour each day contemplating the life of Christ. And so every morning, great is God's faithfulness. When I wake up, I say, thank you, Lord. I'm no different to one of the animals out there in the woods here behind my house. They got to sleep too. And I'm helpless when I'm asleep. Not only has he shown himself faithful in countless small kindnesses and rescues, but chiefly in the death of his own son, Jesus Christ. Yes, the mountain peak of his redeeming love, the Ebenezer called Calvary. That's a place of reminder. Romans 5:8 says, but God commended his love towards us in that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. Hallelujah. He didn't wait to perfect us. He picked us while we're still wallowing in our hog pen. And so Jesus, spilling his own blood to rescue us when we were wandering, prone to wander, how much more will he now save us from the dangers present and to come? He has raised the stone of help, and our help to arrive safely home comes, come what may, is now more sure than ever. It's more than a wish. Praise God. But it's a sure and steady hope that burns in my heart. As sure as God is God, if we belong to Christ, he will fetter us or shackle us to himself and seal our hearts, hallelujah, for heaven's court. So although we have a mind to do our thing, may God help us to erect Ebenezers, little steps, little stones of memory in our lives, so that we can look back and see how God has led us all the way. Just as when I look at those pictures, I say, you've led me all the way, and you will lead me home. May God bless us as we sing our closing song, which is Higher Ground. I want to plant my feet on higher ground. I wonder how many of us this afternoon now will say, Lord, I want to get above this world. where Satan's darts at me are hurled. I want to plant my feet on higher ground. May God give us strength as we sing the song and dedicate our lives, not to keep going back, but to erect these markers in our lives that remind us of how God has led us and will lead us until he shall come in his kingdom and all of this mess will be over. Praise God. Raise your hand with me. I want to see God's presence. I want to be in his home because this world is passing away and everything in it. And so from the stories of Israel, may we grow and become stronger. May we take heart that God wants to save us, but all he's asking is that we surrender our will to him. Would you join with me in that? God bless you. I see your hands. More than your hands, your heart. God bless you. God bless you. Praise God. Let us sing our closing hymn.